Leicester still going strongly in the closing minutes. Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is!
Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Sybold scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Welcome along to Falkirk Daft, your unofficial podcast dedicated to everything Bairns. If there's one sound that you can sum up with Falkirk in the last few years, it's back again this weekend, and it has to be... That's the only sound I can think of that sounds up, basically sums up our last few years, and it's back again this week. I am John McAnally, and this week we unfortunately are going to look back at the 4-0 defeat to Airdrie. We're going to look ahead to Peterhead, and with the two new unknown signings coming into the club, we're asking, who's been our best signing that you knew nothing about and turned out to be an absolute player? That's what we're going to discuss on this week's show, and as usual, I am joined by the ginger god of pod himself. It's Ross Wayne. Have you got a noise that you can make for as well, or is it just like, oh?
It would probably just be an expletive, John. I'd just be going, fuck's sake.
Or just a big fuck!
I know, but we've swore too early in the episode for this one, I think, but oh man, what a struggle. You know when you think you're over that hill, but
yeah,
we get brought back downhill, don't we?
Well, I'm looking forward to breaking down the game. I unfortunately, well, maybe fortunately, wasn't there on Saturday because I was out enjoying the fringe, you know. Get this, Ross, right? God almighty, £6.55 for a pint.
That's brutal.
I honestly said to the guy, and it was a young guy as well, I did, you going to put your mask back on, mate? And he didn't get the chat at all. He's like, what are you saying? I'm like, Dad, don't worry about it. I'll pay you £6.55.
That's brutal. Well, where were you?
I was down seeing my mate. But if you get the chance as well, Billy Kirkwood, 3:15, The Beehive, absolutely brilliant stand-up. And he was great. I went to see my good friend Fred McCauley on the Friday night as well.
Oh,
but
of course, yes. Yes, yeah.
The best bit about the whole weekend, however, Ross, was the fact that I was sitting in a pub, right, and Edinburgh's a weird and wonderful place during the festival. What I would say, however, if you are a single man, do not try and pull any Thai girls at that point. Things could go a bit awry, yeah. But it's a weird and wonderful place in Edinburgh. And I was sat at the bar, and you know what? I had a few drinks by this time, Ross, right? And I looked around and there was this massive poodle just standing up at the bar like it was trying to order a drink. And I was just like...
Sure it was a poodle?
It was not like a big one. Like it was. Right, it looked like Brian May. And it was stood at the bar and I was like, what's going on? And I was steaming at this point. And the barman just, I said, so what's he having, Brewdog? Like, and then my brain just started going out overloading the bar. And I was like, oh, sorry, mate. It must be a boar bone and coke that he's ordering. And I left at 5 minutes. I said, mate, do you know what he won't order? An advocat.
Barman was just fly by with you and
hating me. But I was in my element, loved it.
Anyway. If he was drinking Brewdog, was the cast of A View from the Terrace there, was he?
Oh, Dad, don't get me started on that lot. Right, okay, listen, before we get into the game, let's talk about some fun stuff. I've got two more names to add to our Ginger 11, which we've been putting together over the last couple of weeks. Colin Blackadder reaches out and says, loving the show. Was Jay Fulton a ginger?
I think he was. Yeah, it's a good shout out again. I think he was. He was on that blonde ginger spectrum, I think.
Yeah, so Jay Fulton could be one that we could add to. And someone reached out, and sorry, I've missed your name, but reached out here. What about this name from the past? Sean Lavery.
Oh, it was a travesty. He never got more game time. Who was it that didn't play him again? Was it Hartley? Or was it McKinnon?
Oh, I don't. Yeah, but there you go. Blast of the past, Sean Lavery. So there's two more names for the ginger. I think we're at a full team now. I'm going to get it written down for next week.
Yeah, we need to do that. Yeah, and obviously the manager, well, it has to be Hoosty.
Ah, obviously. Obviously Hoosty. Right, okay, we're talking about recent decent right-backs because we're saying that we've struggled for a right-back. Craig says, really enjoyed the podcast. The dinner comparison was decent, and we'll get into that a bit later on. A right-back who wasn't mentioned was Jack Ross, but was obviously a very different side to what we are now. Jack Ross was a really, really... I don't think he... You know, when you look at it, I thought he was a brilliant captain and, you know, did so much for the club, obviously being a local boy as well. But, yeah, he was a great right-back for us as well, I thought.
He was good. I think, he was a bit of an unsung right-back as well. Was that not... That was the first season back in the SPL, wasn't it, that he played?
Yeah.
I think we obviously struggled to win at home that year. But what we did have a good season, though, so... Yeah, it was a bit of an unsung right back. I like Jack Ross, and obviously he's doing okay, I think, now, isn't he? So,
Right, he's doing all right for himself. Yeah, good result for Dundee United. Apparently, Sibs was brilliant on Thursday night. I didn't see the game, but I spoke to my mates, the big Dundee United.
I watched Sibs
was brilliant. Sibs was brilliant. He's playing in a deeper role, but he seems to be doing a really good job at United.
And to think, John, some people said they wouldn't take him back at Falkirk.
Absolutely crazy. We've had a couple of, we obviously in the first week, Sven Yeats listened to the show. Another former Bairn has reached out to us, said, has listened to the show as well, much to Ross's embarrassment. Robbie March, who you said last night wasn't good enough.
Well, listen, just to clarify, because I know, well, it sounds like Robbie will be listening. So just to clarify, I didn't say he wasn't good enough. I said that he didn't command his box as well as he could have.
Right. Is that what you said?
I think I said he was a great shot stopper, which I do think he was. Uh-huh. But I don't think he commanded his box as well. Obviously, it's great that he's got in touch. He's obviously given us a shout out that he's
awkward.
You know, it's obviously great he's listening. And he did say that, didn't he? He's listening on his.
He does. He did. He said, thanks for the shout out. Guilty of listening to your podcast. Now I'm with your commute from Aberdeenshire to Edinburgh, training on a Tuesday / Thursday. So, Robbie, thank you very much for listening. I thought you were great, and I think you should still be at the club. And I welcome your return one day. But that's it. However, the big controversy from last week's show, Ross, the Gulnar versus the Sanam. We put up a poll on our Twitter. You can get us at Falkirk Daft on Twitter, and it split Falkirk, let's just say. A lot of controversy, Ross, a lot of people saying that the Gulnar shouldn't be involved in any conversation about Falkirk because it's in Larbert. But I am saying it is in the Falkirk area and should qualify.
You did get an awful lot of feedback on that, John, if I'm being honest, but then I agree with you. It's a Falkirk area. It's like people who say Grangemouth's not Falkirk. Let's face it, it's part of Falkirk, isn't it?
So. Exactly. So, I mean, we've got a few things. Davy George, I say, come on, it has to be between the two, but we've been our eyes have been opened by Davy George. Thanks for listening, Davy. I think you need to throw the new one up in Manor Street. It's called Moonlight Kitchen. Handy when you get thrown out of the Welly or the Scotia. It's where all the cool kids hang out, so we need to check out that one. But it got split down. Sanam. People are very passionate about this, by the way.
Yes.
But after about 400 odd votes on this, Ross, the results are in. Can I have a drum roll, please? I'll put in a wee effect here at this point, right? So I'll put in a drum roll effect should play now. There we go. And now a fanfare with 63%. It was a Sanam that won it. Disappointing.
Yeah. There we go. There
disappointing. We go. So Sanam is officially, according to Falkirk Daft, listeners, the best Indian in Falkirk.
Effectively, Falkirk won Stenismere 0, innit?
You can take that. Right, listen, I've got to talk about this. A few people have been listening abroad, Ross. Get this. YNYSDDU Bairn loving the podcast listening in South Wales. Now, I'm assuming that South Wales as in the UK South Wales as opposed to the down under South Wales.
Well, you never know.
Get back in touch.
I think there is a couple of Bairns down in South Wales as in the UK South Wales.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've seen a couple of posts actually on the Facebook pages and stuff. So could be down under though, because I'm sure, again, from the Facebook pages, I'm sure there's the odd Aussie that pops up.
Yeah, well, great, you're listening anyway. And picks on our Discord. Now, if you want to get involved in our Discord, all the links are on our profile on Twitter, and you can sign up, be involved in our little bit of chat room. He's from Switzerland, and he's listening to the show. And I've done some statistics, Ross. I've went into the what they call the back end of the podcast. I've done some analysis and found out, here we go, you want to listen to some of the countries that have listened to this podcast?
Go on then.
Right, we've got Ireland, Greece, Portugal, New Zealand, Morocco, the USA, Spain, Australia, and our second biggest place outside the UK for listening to Falkirk Daft is Canada.
Canada. There you go. So we'll need to, do we have a Canadian Falkirk supporters branch out there, maybe?
Maybe we do. But listen, if you're in any of those countries and are listening to this, please get in touch and let us know you listen. We'll give a shout out on the podcast next week. Love to hear from you. Absolutely. Anyway, before we get into the game, a couple of bits of news from the last week from the Bairns. Obviously, it happened during the show last week. It was announced that Ramon Burrell had signed for us and obviously made his debut at the weekend there. He's on a one-year deal and he was at Kilmarnock. We'll get into how he played and stuff on top of the Airdrie game. So he signed for us. And then the other one that kind of came out the blue from a lot of people is, now I'm just going to call him Ola because everyone else seems to be calling him Ola. Ola Lawo is joined, obviously got international clearance, and he signed a one-year deal with a second-year option from Chippenham Town in England. And everyone, we put it up on our Twitter as well. The YouTube highlights look bloody good, I'll tell you that much.
Good. And if I'm being honest, I'm excited about him. I think he'll start this weekend. I know we're not previewing Peterhead yet, but I think he'll start. I think Burrell might start as well, actually. In fact, do you know what? There's about five or six players who are at risk of not starting.
We'll get into that a bit later on. So, yeah, two new signings in there. Do you think that's him done? Do you think that, is there any other way for movement? Or do you think he's going to have to move out to move people in?
I think there will be movement out. I don't know whether that'll stop us getting someone in. Do you know what's interesting? We were apparently very, very odds-on favourites to sign the boy Mochrie from Dundee United. And then apparently from the news from Dundee United was that we pulled out the race. Now, he's obviously signed for Dunfermline and he's scored already for Dunfermline. So I'm hoping that John McGlynn's got someone even better lined up. There's obviously still a couple of rumours kicking about the young boy for Hearts.
Henderson.
But you never know. You never know. I think John McGlynn's got a striker up his sleeve. Could it even be that target man type player that we're looking for? You never know.
Yeah, we'll see. The other big news this week is it was announced that Doug Moody has stepped down as the Falkirk Supporters Society representative on the board. The club put out a statement saying, "We'd like to thank Doug for all his efforts during his time on the board. We will now consult with the FSS about recruiting a replacement for Doug, and an announcement regarding this will be made in due course." Right, now there's been a lot of speculation about this, and it was kind of clarified by a statement released by the Falkirk Supporters Society. Now, I'm not going to read out the full statement, but I think the last paragraph is quite telling. I'd like to break this down a wee bit, if you don't mind, Ross. It says in the last paragraph from the FSS, "We hope to have a meeting with the board soon where we can discuss any lessons we can all learn from the first 6 months of fan involvement." Now, that says there's lessons to be learned there. I mean, in all accounts, initially we heard it was all amicable and what have you, but that doesn't, reading that line again, let's just read it. "We hope to have a meeting with the board soon where we can discuss any lessons we can all learn from the first 6 months of fan involvement." It's clearly not a happy camp there. Reading behind the scenes there, this says there's lessons to be learned. I'll read further into it. "It's clear that we need to think carefully." Some interesting words be used here. "It's clear that we need to think carefully about how our model can succeed. We are, however, determined to ensure fans retain an effective voice at the heart of the club achieved via democratic elections. We will seek a replacement fans director for Doug as soon as possible." Some very interesting language in there for you when you read that there. "It's clear that we need to think carefully about how our model can succeed." And then the word, "fans retain an effective voice at the heart of the club." Very interesting words to use, I think.
There is. I think they deserve an effective voice at the heart of the club. Having heard and spoke to Nigel and Doug, who are obviously the FSS sort of reps on the board, or up until recently they were the reps on the board, for Doug's case, they were involved really, really heavily day to day, which is obviously needed because there's a build needed behind the scenes. So to have that effective voice is definitely something that needs to be there. To go back to the first line you mentioned around lessons that we can all learn. So yeah, there probably is. There's probably things that have maybe, especially if there's been a lot of work going on, there's maybe things that are from both sides, maybe not quite as it needed to be. But do you know what? We're obviously not going to know the detail. I don't know if we'll ever know the detail. At the end of the day, you, me, everybody listening, we just want the best for the club. So hopefully whatever decisions are being made behind the scenes are the right decisions. We all hope they are. It all leads to what happens on the pitch. Obviously, Saturday wasn't good enough at all. Far from it. It was disgusting. And then no disrespect to Airdrie, but we shouldn't be getting beat 4-0 in the third tier by anybody. So, yeah. And fair play to Airdrie, they've done what they've done to us the last 3 or 4 years, and they tore us apart. Some of it self-inflicted, but they tore us apart, and it's just not good enough. So hopefully everything that's going on behind the scenes at the club, the FSS needs to work. They've got...
They both need to work together. I mean, the thing is, the board and the FSS need to work together and find a way. And I guess as the FSS grows, their power will grow in the role in the boardroom as well. So they need to find a way for this effective model to work. They need to find a middle ground, and they need to make it work on both sides. Yeah. So hopefully that can do, because what you say, we can't have more of a shit show backstage, as we would say in the wrestling business or the concert business. But there needs to be, in the boardroom, there needs to be unity on all fronts there. So,
well, do you know what? There has to be unity from a public perspective, and that from the club statement and the FSS statement, that there seems to be unity there in the message, right? However, the part of the reason the FSS exists is to be that voice. Now, I'm more than happy for whether it was Doug and Nigel or whoever is going to be doing this going forward to be a voice for the 500 people who are investing every month. But you've got the patrons group there who I know have got a voice on the board as well. Everybody has to be kind of working towards the same goal. There will be disagreements because there's disagreements in life. Do you know what I mean? There could be disagreements in everything that happens with the football club. But as long as everyone's working towards the same end goal, which is a successful football team in the park, which gets us out of this bloody league, then it just has to happen. So hopefully that's the kind of path that we're all going down.
Yeah, hope so. So we'll see who replacement will be for Doug. Obviously, that's going to go up to a vote. We'll see who nominates themselves for that in the next couple of weeks. That's what's going on behind the scenes at the moment at Falkirk. But I guess we've got to talk about what's going on the park. So every week we welcome to the Falkirk Daft a guest pundit to help us look back at the games. And this week we're pleased to welcome to the podcast, it's Dougie Manson.
Evening, guys. How's it doing?
Hey, Dougie.
Good, mate. Good. Right, before we get into the horror show that was Airdrie away, Dougie. Well, we're going to have to. That's the whole point of the podcast, mate. Right, but I've got to ask you the questions we ask every week. We ask, first of all, who's your favourite Falkirk player of all time?
Arsene Lescaud. Simple as that.
It's,
I know Crunchy's up there, but God, I was only 14, 15 when he signed for us.
Aye.
And just that memory, God, is just unbelievable.
Aye. Yes. And what about your favourite game?
4-0 against Hearts.
Oh, and Sammy Hadrick.
For all the 97 semi-final was amazing. My outlaws, Rog Ambos.
Right.
It was an absolute joy for me, trust me.
I bet you was. Hey, listen, the big question we're going to be asking this week, Doug, is basically... See an unknown player that's coming to sign, but obviously we've got the two new boys that have just signed, they're complete unknown quantities, but we're hoping they turn into players. Can you remember a Falkirk player that signed for the club and just went, who's that? And they've turned out to be an absolute belter of a player. Our big example on Twitter was Will Vokes.
See, Tony Stokes for me.
Tony.
You know what I mean, I genuinely believe if we'd had him that whole season, we'd have been a top six team that year.
Aye.
If you had just taken that gamble. 18 goals up to Christmas time. Unbelievable signing for us.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I totally agree. And I can't even think, he didn't go for a lot of money, did he?
It was a million. He went for a million, didn't
he? I don't remember that.
There was a story though, John. There was a story that, see when we were offered him on loan, I think we were offered him not on loan, but like a cut price deal. And I'm sure it was like a couple of hundred grand or something like that.
Right.
And I think, granted, he hadn't kicked a ball for us but at that point. But can you imagine if we'd taken that gamble, as Doogie had said, and we'd had him, not just the full season, but we probably would have had him maybe another season on top of that. And
made a lot of money on him.
Yeah, what kind of money it might have went for.
I've never heard that, so I didn't realise that was a thing. That's unbelievable.
I think as long as we kept Mary Rosie's, would be okay.
Absolutely.
There was a few rumours.
Right, boys. Well, I've already said I wasn't at the game. Ross, you watched it. Doogie, you watched it as well.
Yes.
4-0 Airdrie, Miguel Frizzell and Gallagher with two changes from the Bairns coming into the game. Allegri coming in for Oliver and McGuffey in for the PE teacher. The change, would you have made those changes, Ross? Is that the two changes you would have made? Or?
No, I think we missed Yates in the middle of the park. I'm not Williamson's biggest fan, but he has a right back and he's fairly competent at it. We hadn't lost many goals prior to Saturday. So I'm a bit confused with some of the... Unless Williamson's injured now. He's obviously got previous for being injured quite a bit as well. So he maybe was carrying a knock. I just felt it was an odd choice, this team selection. I don't know what Doogie thinks, but I just thought... See when the team lines came out, I thought, why are we playing Morrison, Nesbitt, McGuffey, Hetherington? And with the greatest respect to them, they were horrific last year, right? Why are we playing all four of them in the same team?
I think for me, McGuffey had decent games in the pre-season games, kind of thing.
Yep.
And I thought he was unlucky to be dropped the game before that for Nesbitt. So I could see why McGuffey was brought back in. But like you say, Ross, I don't agree playing all of them at the same time. Yates, we lost out in the midfield because he was playing at right back.
Yeah.
Allegri, however you want to say his name, honestly, I thought at one point he was going to look, Marcus Haber look like a football player.
Oh, God.
Honestly, I'm like, oh. I mean, they never showed it in the highlights, but he's tripped over the ball again. Now, is that
after 7 minutes? I read that in the report in the Falkirk Herald that he tripped over the ball that wasn't shown in the highlights for obvious reasons.
He should have had a shot, though. I don't even know why he didn't take the shot in the first place. Yeah. And they let it go too far, and just a fresh air strike at the ball, down he goes, and you just are, oh, what have we got here?
I saw that as well. Like, he almost kicked it with his wrong foot, like his standing foot, and then, it was
embarrassing, Ross.
It was embarrassing.
I'll tell you what, I was speaking to Rangers boys my work yesterday, and I was saying to them, I don't know how he is even connected to your club. Because he's just he doesn't look nothing at all.
Yeah.
Pal's a Rangers supporter.
He's like a flatmate for Morelos or something like that.
He's just his pal. That's how he got his deal, that he was just his mate from Colombia. Oh, you know what? I'm only going to sign a new deal for Rangers if you sign my pal.
That's probably it, eh?
That is his bag or something.
Place five someone on a Monday night in Colombia and he got a deal with it.
Carries his bags or something.
Obviously he came in. I have to say, we were talking about Oliver dropping too deep. Like you say, he's got a real great work rate, Oliver, and that is probably one of the changes I made. However, I'm very surprised that Nesbitt and Morrison both started in that same team again.
In fairness, I mean, the first half we didn't look too bad going forward. You know what I mean? We did create some chances and that, nothing clear cut.
But I mean, looking at the highlights, they certainly looked as if they, Morrison, obviously it was pot shots from outside the box, but, aye, they looked as if he were creating chances at least.
John, it comes down to decision-making again, and again, we'll see what Doogie thinks, but I just think the decision-making for half a dozen of the players is just odd. Like, what? I don't know what Morrison would talk about. He had a couple of pot shots outside the box. There are better options there, but he must think he's got, like, and he has got a good shot in him. Mm-hmm. But how many times does it actually work? One in 10?
I don't know, but even if you look at the goals we conceded on Saturday, the first goal, the striker was in the right place at the right time and it got off a deflection. The second goal from a corner kick that wasn't a corner kick. You can see that from the Falkirk players' reaction that it wasn't a corner. Third and fourth goal were down to 10 men, were chasing the game. So you can kind of give those away a wee bit. You know what I mean? We can accept those. Don't want to, but we can. But I just thought that the difference was, look at where their striker was. What is it? Poacher's goals.
Yeah.
We've never had somebody that will sniff out a chance to pay the ball since John Baird.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. You know what I mean? But there's nobody we've got sniffs out a chance in that penalty box.
No. I mean, I guess when you're playing with those type of... I mean, it's the system, though, Dougie, is it not? The system, obviously, Morrison and Nesbitt aren't going to be in those positions. Oliver, as we spoke about last week, was dropping deep. I don't know how Allegri looked. I mean, he had one good... From what I saw in the highlights, he had one good wee snap chance.
I must have missed that, but I must have even heard my shot at that point then. Because I did miss that to the highlights. But that was the only thing he'd done the whole game.
Yeah,
I didn't see, as Ross was saying about his decision making, it just wasn't there. You know, I mean, he had chances to play the boy ins at the time, and I don't know. I'd love to see a two up front. I think that if you're a defence playing against one striker, it's so easy to marshal one striker.
Yeah.
Because at least if you've got two, they're both occupied. It's two central defenders are occupied. One striker is so easy for a defence.
Yeah.
You know what I've noticed as well? We're not even... See, when the away team or the other team's attacking, we don't even keep anyone up. Like, why are we not doing that as well?
Yeah, I mean, in all accounts, it was a bit of a sucker punch, that first goal. First 20 minutes, everyone was saying we played really quite well, and then obviously Airdrie got the goal off the kind of deflection. They got the second off a corner that they shouldn't have been. However, it does worry me slightly, defending again from set pieces. We saw it against in the pre-season against Kilmarnock, where we were just bossed at set pieces. That was a bit of a worry and a bit of a concern. One of them came from a corner, one of them came from a free kick, and we're not defending them.
I know PJ Morris, I think he was off by the time we scored the second goal, wasn't he? I'm not convinced with him at commanding his box. You know what I mean? I don't see him as commanding his box, and a ball's coming out of that box. I'm sitting there thinking, right, who's going to get this? I get the fact that we have been a wee bit tighter than that. But with PJ, I'm just not convinced with him as commanding in his box at all.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you said the injury to PJ Morrison. Paddy Martin looks like, I don't know what, still no news from what I can hear on the injuries both to him and Mackay. So we don't know how long those guys are out for at the moment.
Mackay looked a bad one when he went down. You can see with players' reactions and that, you can tell a lot. And it did look a bad one because the Falkirk players were kind of all concerned. But I don't know how good that pitch was on Saturday, to be honest, because every time a player kicked the ball, you could see the balls coming up off it.
Yeah.
Sometimes say it's a new pitch. I don't know.
It's a new pitch, but I don't think it looked great. It looked really, as you said, the pellets that's on there, that's down there.
Nah.
It looked far. Like, remember when Livy put their new pitch on, mm-hmm. and it was just black.
And yeah.
All the black pellets are just kicking up every single time. Listen, at the end of the day...
Both teams have got to play on it at the end of the day. That's the thing, though.
The pitch was the same for them.
That's
Andy, they probably train on it, like, but it's the same at our place. We train on it, well, yeah, we train on it most of the week. So it was there for both teams to play on, and we didn't handle it well at all.
Obviously, we unfortunately went down 10 men as we'd used all our subs when the Mackay went off, and obviously Airdrie took advantage of that with two goals, but I don't think it was down to the 10 men the two goals came from, really. It was just, from what I could see, it was just a very bad day at the office, and our big strength, our big, you know, was our defence in pre-season in the first couple of games, and then you're thinking, what has happened there?
Yeah.
It's the first
school
team
we've got. It's the PE teacher. See, we've taken Williamson out and we've put in Yeats at right back, and the PE teacher is missing. Ross, we've been wrong all along. Bing back Williamson at that starting 11 for Saturday.
To be honest, I would. I would, on the basis of that, you would bring him back in. I'm just hoping it's not an injury he's had again, because he's forever out injured, or it seems. I think he's had COVID like six times. Or perceived. I don't know if he's got a bit of that Dunfermline player.
He might have been on holiday
or something. I don't know. I just think hopefully he's fit, but we do need him back in there because you want Yeats back in the midfield.
Yeah. I mean, what else is there to say? I mean, it was a really, from what I can see, just really, really poor. I mean, walking out of there, Doogie, I know it was your boys' first away game as well. Walking out, what was the immediate reaction to the game when you were getting back to the car?
We came out 3-0. I'll admit that. I didn't see the fourth goal. I couldn't take any more. And I think the majority of Falkirk fans probably left at 3-0 because there was a whole lot of people came out at that point. And it was just everybody kind of saying, oh, what's just happened? You know, I mean, we have looked good in the cup games. Against Montrose, we didn't look like we were going to concede. Maybe we probably didn't look like we were going to win. What's just happened? You know what I mean? You went through the optimism on Saturday. Again, the club is getting back from the supporters every week in, week out. You know what I mean? 2,300 season ticket holders. I'd assume probably 1,000 supporters there on Saturday.
Yeah.
For an away game. You know what I mean? That's good. For a team that's in League One and for the fourth season.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know.
I thought we were past these drubbings, to be honest. And I don't know whether that's short-sightedness by me or everybody else, but I know there's still a lot of players there that didn't do well last year and it's not good enough. And they're still on the basis they're not good enough. But I do trust McGlynn to sort it. But how far on are we going to be when we're actually got a settled starting 11? There just seems too many changes just now as well.
Well, you look at it now, we're 5 points off the top of the table, 2 games in.
Aye.
We can't keep that going. We don't want that to get stretched up any more than what it is already is, you know what I mean? Let's be honest. Five points is 2 games.
The good news is, right, we've got to play we've still got to play most of the teams 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of points still left to be won, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I was speaking to a Dunfermline fan at the weekend there on Sunday, and what he said, well, I know he's, to be fair, he was okay, but what he said to me was like, look, I'm not going to give you anything because they've played 2 games, they've won both, they've not played that well, the other teams have played have been shocking. Mm-hmm. We've still played a lot of the teams that they've already played, so I think it's far too early to just write us off, obviously, but I think we can't be having these drubbings in the third tier.
No, absolutely not.
It's embarrassing.
You want to go off to a good start, because if you go off to a good start, it builds your confidence. Had they bought coming out of the League Cup or the League Cup situation we did, we'd have been filled with confidence. And I've not seen that in 2 games, to be honest. They seem tepid. They seem, I just don't know. You know what I mean? It's like there's no, when you fight back to the Hibs game, especially the first half again, we were brilliant in that first half against Hibs. The tempo was there. They were passing quite well. Passing, everything was there. In Montrose game, it wasn't there. Adrian Saturday, it wasn't there.
Mm.
And I know McGlynn's got a big job, and he knows himself he's got a big job. But, you know what I mean? Like you say, Ross, I trust him as well to get us out of that. I think he's the right man for the job. But we're going to need to be patient as fans to accept this as well now, unfortunately.
That's not a quick one.
4-4 fucking 2.
I'm with that, John, definitely.
That's it. Old Ted Bassett there. Let's get that happening. Right, okay. Let's hear from the manager as he caught up with Lewis.
John, a difficult afternoon at the office. By my count, we had 5 really good chances in the first half. Is perhaps the biggest regret that we couldn't get ourselves in the lead?
Yeah, it might have been also different if we had taken any one of these chances, you know. So for 5 chances this week, you know, for 15 attempts with 5 on target last week, you think the low average, we managed to get one of these going in, you know, but we're not quite totally like committed, you know. The attempts on goal are not so brilliant, you know. They're kind of like shots on target, but there's no necessarily ones that are going to go flying in the top bin by all accounts, you know. So yeah, I thought the first half was a very open game. It was kind of end to end, although we started the game really well. First opening 20 minutes, I thought we passed the ball really well and created opportunities, 1v1s that maybe we should have done better with, particularly doing the left hand side, Callum getting at them, but not quite getting that goal that we probably maybe deserved in that opening period. Maybe just not incisive enough, no cutting edge enough to get that goal. But it was open, and so, you know, they had that chances as well. They managed to get the nose in front, and again, I think towards the end of the half, we were still threatening to score. I thought it was very open, and at half time, you know, in a very open game, even game, you know, you might just find yourself ahead, or you might just find yourself, you know, behind. We're behind. That time, we still felt that we were well in the game and that we could get something out of the game. Second goal coming from not clearing the ball for a corner kick, which is poor, you know. Then probably things conspired against us with the loss. Brad more so, obviously PJ going off, but you know, Paddy's an able deputy, so to speak. So we're going down to 10 men, and again having to like try and get something out of the game, trying to push to get something out of the game. We made a number of changes, trying to freshen it up, trying to get some impetus at the top end of the pitch as well. But again, it was a corner kick that we lose, you know, the next goal from, or maybe it was the last goal, but, you know, we lost another goal from a corner kick. Again, a ball that should have been cleared. Poor, from that point of view. And then a goalkeeper's kick out. They break on us. You know, we're probably too open at that point in time. But, and then it's rubbed a little bit of salt in the wound. So, no, not a great day. We came here with high expectation, high hopes. We felt we'd been doing well enough here to, and we did make a good, really good account of ourselves in the first half. Didn't get ourselves in front. So it's first thing we went behind, really. See how the guys were going to react, and so didn't react as well as we would want them to. So we're learning, and I was under no illusions of how difficult the task was going to be, and probably today has certainly brought that right home.
So it's almost, I don't know if McGlynn doesn't listen to him, he can't, it's almost like he can't pinpoint it either.
I think he can, John. I think he's protecting some of these players in that interview.
Yeah.
That was my feeling. I think he's said a lot more in the change room. Obviously, I've no idea what he said to them. I can imagine, right? But I think he's protecting them. And I get it. You protect your staff, don't you?
Yeah.
In any line of work, you protect your staff. It's probably the most downbeaten I've seen him in any interviews. And he's normally pretty engaging and he comes across great and everybody's loving it, but that was probably the first one where we went, that was a hard listen. It was a hard watch.
Aye, it was. It was. He's got, I guess, a job to get that team ready for this weekend against Peterhead. You know, obviously, when Brad McKay, like Dougie says, looks like a bad injury, do you move Sean Mackey back in one and then bring McCann back in at left back?
I would. I don't think McCann done anything wrong in the games played to warrant getting dropped. I'm a great believer, if a boy comes in and does the job, don't drop him. You know what I mean? It's them for whoever's been injured, whatever, to work his socks off in training. And when he gets a chance to get his team back, his place back in the team, if a boy comes in and plays well, why drop him?
Yeah, I can, unless, I mean, that's, I guess that's the only option available to him, really, as well, if Mackay is out.
Well, Henderson's still out as well, which is causing even more problems, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've not seen Henderson at all.
Not seen Henderson, and Watson, obviously, long-term as well. So, we'll see what he puts out, but he's got a lot of...
See, the thing with Henderson, I agree with Diggy, we've not seen a lot of him, right? But when he has played, which I think it's what, like two half games or something. He played a half against Morton, then got sent off. But that first half against Morton, he controlled everything. And then, before he got injured against was it Bonnyrigg game? Again, he was we looked really, really tight when he was in the team. So hopefully it's not going to be too long before Henderson's back in. But until then, I agree with Dougie. I would put Mackie in, who actually looks quite comfortable at centre-half.
Yeah,
and play McCann.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. We asked everyone to get in touch with us, give us their thoughts on the game. Bill says, very worrying collapse in the second half. So similar to last season, that first half thought we looked good and the first goal was really unlucky. The goal was relatively unlucky there, wasn't it?
Peter, who contacted us, said, yeah, once again, disappointing. Support was brilliant. Great vibe before kickoff. Did okay first half, didn't think we deserved to be the one down. And then after the break, things seemed to conspire against us. Poor play, referee, more injuries have obviously cost us another tough season ahead. However, COYB.
Referee, we've not really touched on him. Obviously, terrible decision to give that corner. What did you make of his performance, Dougie?
Right, the referees at this level are absolutely murder. I thought Scottish football referees are poor. These guys are a different level. They really are shocking. Mick Donaldson got booked for, I think it was pulling back a boy. 5 minutes later, the guy wipes out McGuffey for a challenge and nothing happens to him. It's a free kick and that's it. You know what I mean? It was so pernickety as well with throw-ins for guys taking them in the right positions on Saturday.
Mm.
It was just, awesome. The referees are new in this league.
They are consistent. They are consistent at least because they're consistently bad at every game.
It's not just a one-off loss. It's every game you're sitting there saying...
That's not why we're losing the games, but
yeah.
They don't help either team at all. They don't help them.
No, it's no. We got beat on Saturday because Airdrie took the chances. As simple as that.
Yeah.
But the referees are just...
We don't seem to be getting it's been a big the breaks that, you know, obviously Deirdre got a deflection, got a corner, you know, we don't seem to have had any of those breaks yet. It's just want one to fall in a box for a tap in like they had, and it's just like
as I said earlier on,
you make your own chances.
They were poachers' goals that our boy got on Saturday.
Yeah, you're right,
and we've never had a poacher since John Baird.
Aye, you're right. AK50 says, isolating one up front, and it goes into this point actually, who isn't particularly good at protecting stroke winning the ball means the ball comes back more than it should. Probably a dig at Allegri there as opposed to Oliver. Central midfield is weak, too easy for teams to play through and break the lines. We need to take chances. Had a few in the first half. I mean, obviously McGinn, I think, had his poorest match from what I've heard in a Falkirk jersey there at the weekend. Hetherington has come in for some criticism as well. Well, Yeats not being in midfield, was that a big problem, Dougie?
I think so. I think you lost the young energy and impetus for Yeats film. I seen there was one situation in the second half. He lost the ball in the early half and the boy was going away from him. And I kid you not, Yeats ran 30 yards to get back at a tackle on the boy. And it was a great challenge. And it was just the energy for him to get back in and meet that challenge. A lot of boys have said, right, I'll just jog back to get that. But all Yates sprinted back down that line to get it. And it was right in front of the Falkirk fans.
Yeah.
You could not help but notice the energy to get back into that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I think Ross Yates infused as energy. Youth as well, maybe, if you like. Yeah. In the middle of the park.
He's unknown as well. They don't know him. They don't know what he can do. So actually, I think we missed that as well. So unless Williamson's been injured or picked up a knock, I think that's a poor decision to make that move on Saturday.
Yeah.
I'd agree, Ross. But Williamson didn't look injured when he came on. But again, I think you touched on it last week. He seems to be the guy that everybody's just picking on just now.
Aye.
As soon as he came on the pitch on Saturday, fans were moaning about him. Here's Williamson coming on. We're not going to get nothing here. Let's give the boy a chance for us.
I blame John, to be honest.
Right, Linda looked at okay for 20, says, we looked okay for 20 minutes, didn't take our chances, lost first goal against run of play, wasn't a corner for the second, but we still failed to defend, turned to shit after that, hope the injuries aren't too bad, I'd like to see more of the two signings. We move on.
We do.
We go again.
Alan, Alan, he said something similar. Started bright, turned to shite.
And he's a poet and he doesn't even know it.
He is. Yeah, he should never be moved to right back again. Yes, Williamson's not been great, but I'd rather have him at right back and Yeats in midfield than see what the three behind the man up top. And see, hopefully we never see the three behind the man up top ever again. It's what we all knew, though. McGlynn's not a magician. And he did get the team all wrong on Saturday. But when you're left with the remnants, the loser mentality, the players that just aren't good enough from the past seasons, nothing is likely to change very quickly. Good point.
I tell you, I don't know what you guys are making of this year, but see this five substitutions? I hate it. I really do. I think it's going to slow the games down so much. I know you still got, you can only do it in three stages, but I just feel it's going to slow the game down so much. I really do. I'm not loving it at all.
Yeah, now went obviously went against us as well with the kind of reinforcement at the weekend as well. Regan says started okay when first goal goes in then the midfield went MIA. Morrison and Nisbet are a waste of wages, complete show ponies. We're as threatening as jelly. Now after two games, complete shit show. I love that phrase. We're threatening as jelly.
I think it is. Morrison looked disinterested right before he got hooked. He lost the ball, didn't chase back, and if he had done, the ball was there for him. It was right in front of McGlynn, so hopefully that's a contributing factor in him being benched. Williamson is done, but in no way can we sacrifice Yeats at right back. Sorely missed today.
Yeah. All these guys make the points that we have. West, he said, had two decent chances at 0-0. Didn't take your chances. You get punished against teams that are better than you. Simple as that. An Airdrie, teams that are better than you. And we're saying that Airdrie are now better than us. Jesus hell. Nesbitt and Morrison are fucking dreadful. We'd happily never see them play for us again. Two goals come when we're down to 10 due to injury on an awful pitch.
I wouldn't say they were dreadful. I think there's footballers in there between the two of them.
There is.
The decision making just lets them down at times. And there's a reason why they're playing with us in League One. Exactly. And not above.
Exactly. I won't start my restaurant analogy again.
No. Well, you did get good feedback on that one, John. Yeah. I think I'm getting all the great names to read out here. We've got Bojos, who said two games in, the hopelessness of last Saturday at 2:45 feels like a million years ago. The club is rotten to the core, is his comment. Long season ahead. If we make the playoffs, I'll be very surprised. On current form, the Pars will pump us. I kind of disagree with most of that, to be honest. And it's not a great username. I don't know if that's Twitter or something, but I don't disagree. It's been obviously a horrific Saturday. I don't think the club's rotten to the core. I think there has been a change. I would have agreed with that comment probably up until about two and a half months ago, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing the club did was working. We've seen better changes in the last 6 months.
Yep.
But it's been really slow, and there's probably been loads of stuff going on behind the scenes. I don't think we can say that now. I think the fans feel something different. The club looks a bit better in terms of how it's been run and stuff in the background. So I don't know if I agree with that. Hopefully the Pars won't pump us. That would be horrendous.
Season before, we brought players in, came for Gary Holt, the fact that giving players long-term contracts was going to be better for us and all that. Has that went against us? Because we came to this summer, McGlynn was left with the ones maybe when he maybe didn't want some of the players, but because of them two-year contracts and nobody else is coming in for them, that might be a problem.
But I think it probably is, Doogie, because I think it was McGlynn or maybe somebody from the board had said at one of these pub events that the Supporters Society put together, 60% of this year's budget is still on the players who are here for last season. So that shows you some of the horrendous contracts that the previous football management and our board. Do you know, the board didn't sign the players, it's the managers that sign players, so they give them a budget. So I'm not even going to criticise a board member for that, but I think for Gary Holt or Sheeran or whoever it was to give players 2-3 year deals on championship money to get them to sign, it's brutal, and it's part of the reason we are where we are.
I'll tell you where we are, because 5 years ago, a witch came over from Fife and put a curse on the Falkirk Stadium. I'm telling you, that's what happened. I'm telling you. On a positive note, Liz, finish off a positive note. I like this from Liz. It was a lovely sunny day. So it's, you know, end on a positive. Right, okay. This is going to be a tough decision this week. Who is the Falkirk Daft rated player of the week? Doogie, who are you going for?
Right. I would love to give it to Allegri, or whatever it is.
The Vauxhall. We're just calling him the Vauxhall because we don't know how to pronounce his full name. The Vauxhall Allegri.
Right, but I might sound a bit like a dinosaur on this. But see the young boys with the smoke bombs, right? Is it really worthwhile getting ourselves a fine or a ban if they get caught with that? The one came on the pitch on Saturday. Sean Mackey went to take it, kick it away. He got told no by referee. It took 3-4 minutes before a steward came on to take it away. I know it seems to be happening to a bunch of games nowadays. These boys, is it worthwhile getting a fine for this? And a police record for it? Honestly, I might sign a dinosaur with this, but it really goes against my grain now.
Do you know, Doogie, I don't have an issue with them in terms of why they're there, right? I don't agree with chucking them on the park. Because remember a few years back when I think Rangers did it and it burned the park and stuff.
Yep.
Like, so yeah, I don't agree with that. I think I've no issues with them because they add a bit of colour, they help. I actually think they do add something. I get they're illegal and I get they're banned, so I'm not arguing that everybody does it, right? But I do think they look great when it all works and stuff, and you see these displays. And or do you know, I think anything that engages the younger fans is brilliant. And I probably sound like an old fogey there now as well. I'm only 41, but I don't see myself in that younger bracket anywhere. John's looking
you certainly
at
aren't.
Yeah, I'm not. I know. I can tell you were thinking that. So I do like them, but I don't agree with chucking them in the park.
Yeah. So are you nominating them as your Falkirk Dafty then, Doogie?
Yes.
Right. What about who's Falkirk Daft rated then? Who's the best player in the park? And
for me, just for that long bust and run that he'd done to get back into, I can't remember the boy's name, Finn Yates. You know what I mean? It seems to adapt well. Even when he went back into midfield on Saturday, he adapted straight away to it. You know what I mean? He played right back, he'd done his best. And like I say, he'd done that long bust and run that was unbelievable, right in front of the fans, and he just adapted well. Saturday, there wasn't a great choice, to be honest.
Yeah.
But Finn Yates.
Ross, we'll go to you on both of those questions.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Doogie in terms of Finn Yates for the Falkirk Daft rated player. Just for his adaptability, again, he doesn't look out of place. He's a young lad. I think he's been fantastic in almost every game that he's played. He deserves probably to be one of the first names on the team sheet other than maybe McGinn. I think he's fantastic. So big, bright future, hopefully with us for a long time. Dafty, do you know, there's obviously a lot being made of Allegria's slip up again. However, and it's maybe not a nice choice to pick, but I'm going to say John McGlynn. I think he got it all wrong on Saturday. And I love the guy. I love everything he's done so far. I think the players he's brought in are far better than what's there. But I think he cocked up with the team selection.
We'll see what he puts out on Saturday. And we'll get into that a bit later on when we talk about the Peterhead game. Doogie, thank you so much for being a pundit on Falkirk Daft. Really, really appreciate that. You pleasure. Going on Saturday?
Yeah, pleasure. It's been really enjoyable. Thanks, guys.
Brilliant. Well, we'll see you down at the stadium on Saturday. Listen, if you want to be like Doogie and be on the podcast, be a guest pundit, we'd love to hear from you. Drop us a DM on our Twitter, Facebook, or you can drop us an email, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com.
Determined, you lose your little player. And it's in, it's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Every week in Falkirk Daft, we're going to ask a big question that needs answered. Well, we've had two unknown signs just come out of the club in the last week in Lowell and Burrow. So we're going to cast our minds back and ask you, who's been that one sign who you knew nothing about but turned out to be an absolute player? Instantly, I go to Will Vokes, because we knew nothing about this player coming in and he turned out to be one of the best players of this generation. In fact, probably we could argue Wolf Wokes is the best player of this generation at the moment. You know, he's the obvious kind of, when you go Crunchy, Stainrod, Latape, Wokes is the next kind of name that really stands out, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know, a talented player. He's obviously so doing good. Well for himself down south. It wasn't immediately obvious from when he came in either. So, although Presley didn't really play him that much, but as soon as he got a sniff, he just took it. And he was fantastic. What a shot on him. I always think back to that shot he took at the cup final against Inverness. From our angle, it looked like he'd scored for like 35 yards. And what a feeling that would have been had that actually been a goal, rather than sort of rippling the side of the net. And his celebration was cracking too.
I know, absolutely. Some brilliant goals from Will as well. Ross, anyone that you have that stands out?
If I'm being honest, probably Farid. He just came out of nowhere, like I suppose Will Volksey. But then he actually, not only did he look great in pre-season, because he did, but then as soon as the league started, he just kicked on as well. And he was just one of these, like, I know I went on and signed for the filth and stuff like that, but still, he was so, so good for Falkirk. He interacted with the fans, he got involved. Obviously, that whole kissing the coin thing with Lee Bullen as well.
Yeah,
it's just a great story. So yeah, probably Farid for me. What about you?
Well, I would definitely say Will's the one that stands out for me. Though if you go back to the Yogi days, there was a couple of belters in there. Big Gerard Affies or Cedric Uras. Remember those players? Turned out to be didn't know anything about these boys, and they turned out to be. I love a big centre half. You know what I mean. So someone like Gerard Affies was brilliant. I guess you could say the same about the goalkeepers when you brought in Tim Crewell and you brought in Casper Schmeichel as well. You know.
Yeah, I know.
So you could say the same about that. But we asked the Falkirk Daft listeners, and they have been in touch. Matthew kicks off. Lyle Taylor. What a shout that is. I would also say Luke Lay as well. He was an all right midfielder, turned into an unreal left back. That goal against Hibs will live with me forever.
That was some strike against Hibs, wasn't it? But he has a couple in his locker. Do you remember one at Livy?
Oh, that was from the angle.
Yeah. Oh, belter. Some people say, no, he was crossing. He was never crossing. That was a shot. So that was a belter. Yeah.
What a player he was.
Nigel has said Stephen Kingsley. So, do you know, Stephen Kingsley was obviously a player who came through the youth setup. Yeah. He was part of that whole sort of golden generation that we almost had.
Brought in, yeah.
However, as soon as he got a sniff, I think he might have got sent off in his debut, actually.
I was against Stirling Albion, I was there, yeah.
But otherwise, he just turned into this phenomenal left back, and he's obviously... That again, he's done really well for himself. He's back in Scotland now. There was a chance we nearly signed him a couple of summers back, I think, before Hearts took him. I'm saying Hearts took him. He obviously quite rightly went to Hearts in the Premier League and stuff. But what a player.
He was training with us. Yeah, he was training with us.
He was. He played a couple of bounce games for us that summer as well. I think, to be fair, it was probably just kind of keeping him ticking over. But he's phenomenal. What a player he's got in terms of a free kick on him now as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Vitor Lima.
Vitor. So him and...
Thiago.
Him and Thiago signed almost at the same time, didn't they?
Yeah,
Might have been a recommendation from Latape, memory, with the whole Portuguese connection. Good shout out.
I know. He was great in midfield.
Craigie says Richard Cadet. Oh, Richard Cadet.
Again... Obviously, but I didn't know anything about him turning to be an absolute player for us. Del agrees, Farid El Alagui. We've not had a player since him who's galvanised the support, management, and club in such an unbelievable way. That's what you said, Ross. He did galvanise that club. He had everyone behind him, and it just worked, didn't it?
It did. Everything he did just oozed class out of the guy. He was first class with the fans. He was first class with the players. It's just a shame we only got. Was it just one season? I think we only got out of him.
2011-2012, wasn't it? To a extent, Lyle Taylor, another shout for Lyle. Like him or not, he scored a lot of goals for us and is now playing in the EPL. If only he had scored. Remember when we beat Hibernia and there was a chance to make it 4-0? Lyle Taylor had the chance to make it 4-0. If he'd scored that goal, we'd have went to the final that year as well. But then Lee Griffiths turned up and absolutely put on a show.
He did, he did. Mark, he's saying Michael McGovern. Mick McGovern, superb goalie.
I knew of Michael McGovern before.
I did as well. I don't know if he was a bit unknown, but he was certainly a great keeper for us as well.
Yeah. Graham's going for Crunchy. Obviously, when he joined from Cameron Juniors, he looked too small, too lightweight, not fast enough to make the jump up to us. In the space of 90 minutes, that first look proved just so wrong. Overall, probably the best Falkirk player never to be capped. In fact, overall, probably the best Falkirk player, full stop, I would say.
I'm going to give a shout out to Graham because I think if that's the Graham I think it is, he's on some of the various forums. If it's Graham McKechnie who I'm thinking of, he's usually pretty negative. And if that's from that Graham, then that's the most positive post he's ever said. So if that's indeed Graham, shout, brilliant, mate. I'm glad you're with us. Dave, he's another one for Richard Cadet. Pedro Moutinho.
Pedro, another Portuguese star.
Yeah, he comes and goes, Pedro, yeah. And Danny Malo, Dave says as well, Danny Malo's a good shout-out.
Danny Malo is a sensational goalkeeper. I wish we'd held on to him for another season because he was a great goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. And finally, Tyler rounds up with Farid as well, or Jamie Wilson.
Maybe. Watch this space. Watch this space, I suppose.
McCann, hooked it in, and it's the breakthrough, and it's Tam Scobie who scores. The local lad says the local fans, delirious those who've come from Falkirk.
This is Falkirk Daft.
On Falkirk Daft, we always like to look ahead. We'd rather look ahead this week than look behind, that's for sure. To our next game, and our opponents at the stadium this Saturday are Peterhead. And from the Blue Tune podcast, please welcome the host, Colin. How are you, Colin?
I'm not too bad. How are you guys?
Been better, Colin, I'll be honest with you. Been a bit better.
I want to ask you how your weekend was then.
Aye, well, let's start off with your weekend. 2-2 against Clyde there, first points on the board this season. How did you look?
It was okay. I think, to be honest with you, I think both sides will think it's perhaps 2 points dropped. Clyde 2-0 up within 20 minutes. We get it back pretty quickly. Clyde go down to 10. And we just didn't take our chances, but it's pleasing considering where we've been in recent weeks that we're actually creating some chances, because a few weeks ago, up the games in the League Cup, especially those chances were non-existent.
I mean, you had a dismal League Cup run. 6-0 off Raith Rovers, probably been a very low point for you, Colin. You've had a tough summer, though, Peterhead. When you look at the players that have left you, you know, obviously Cy Ferry retired, went on to that mob at Broomhill with his open goal lob. But the kick in the balls for you guys, not only he retires, he takes Derek Lyle, he takes Gary Fraser, he takes Alan Cook, and he takes Ryan Conroy with him as well.
I think the vast majority of those we would expect to leave anyway. And Conroy was expected to leave. Cook was expected to leave. Derek Lyle was expected to leave. And I think Jim was wanting to stick with the more the younger players. Maybe bring in one or two experienced players like he has done with Ryan Christie and Ryan Dow, etc. But I certainly think likes of Scott Brown leaving. Was a big one for us. Grant Savory leaving.
Yeah,
just before,
I mean,
before the season even started as well.
Both really, really good players. I mean, Scott Brown, I think every season at Peterhead, it was always getting talked up for a move away from Peterhead. I mean, it was great that you were able to hold him on as long as you could to him, because at least it gets one of the Browns, because you have about 100 Browns playing for you, doesn't it?
We had four last season. Three of them have got the same initials. So, yeah, it's a bit of a nightmare. It's a weird transfer policy, let's put it that way.
Aye, just saying people at Brown confuses the referee, you know what I mean? That's it. So how he's looking, Colin, because for a lot of people, a lot of pundits, they were tipping Peterhead to go down this season.
Yeah, I think at the start of the season, I think we were Very pessimistic, much more pessimistic than we were this time last season. I think when the season was started last season, just before the season started last season, a lot of people were predicting us to be, you know, 9th, 10th, and we were quite happy to bookmark those tweets because we were confident at the end of the season we would come back to them and say, you know, we've proved you wrong as we did. But I think we're slightly more pessimistic this time around. That's mainly because of, like, as you've highlighted there, the players that we've lost. The players that have come in maybe aren't as good, but Jim's probably still working away quietly in the background. And that's not to say that the players that we have got aren't any good, but losing Hamish Ritchie for what looks like for the entire season through his injury, Andy McCarthy's injury at the beginning of the season as well, has obviously been a blow. Two players that probably would have been in the starting lineup every week are big misses. But, you know, we take these blows and Jim seems to come up with a plan every season and gets us in the position where we want to be.
Colin, what's the how's Paul Dixon looked so far?
Honestly, looked a little shaky. I watched him in the first game, just friendly to Dundee, and he made an absolute howler for one of the Dundee goals. And I think I don't know if because he's 35 now, 36. I don't know if he's going to be playing every game or if he should be playing every game. Yeah. But because of the injuries that we've had in the defensive line, he's played every game, as the two league games and the four league cup games, apart from one, obviously he's sent off. Sorry, but no, he's looking a little bit shaky. I don't know if it's going to take time to bed in, but certainly, you know, he's 35. He's not going to be the player he was a few seasons ago. But I think he's brought in for more of his experience than anything else.
Probably, I think from our perspective, obviously he didn't have a great season last season either. There's probably Bairns fans out there who probably thought he's never had a good game for us. I don't know if he was as bad as that.
I always liked him.
I thought he was okay. I think you're right though. I think age is catching up with him. He struggles against the sort of pacier forwards. He's an organizer though. He's got a good.
I think that's one thing that we missed last season was that vocal player on the park. I know we had Simon Ferry quite a lot. He is very vocal as you'd expect, but he missed quite a lot of the season through injuries, suspensions, and whatnot. So we missed that kind of leader on the park, and maybe that's why he's been brought in. Interesting that he's been playing in a back three, so he's got that protection round about him, if you like, with the two centre halves. But yeah, I think he's. I think if you see the goal, the second Clyde goal from Saturday, I think he misses which a through ball that maybe 2-3 years ago he would have picked up.
Yeah. Jim McAnally seems to have a job for life though there, Colin. He's the longest serving manager in the SPFL now, isn't he? I mean, he seems to just pull it, like you say, he keeps pulling a team out of nowhere every season and keeping you up there.
Yeah, and he finds these little diamonds now and again as well. I mean, last season when we had Josh Mulligan playing as a right wing back, he was brought in from Dundee on loan as a centre midfielder, and for some reason he decided he's going to play him at wing back and absolutely stormed that first half of the league. As I said, he managed to get Grant Savory last season. He was phenomenal as well. Hamish Ritchie's managed to bring him in, and he just quietly goes on with the job and finds these players, but he gets the backing of the chairman and the board as well, which I think is a key thing as well. I mean, he's been there for 11 seasons. He's going to have that relationship with the board now, so he should be fairly confident that any decision he makes will be backed.
Yeah. You've obviously got Falkirk Hardman as well on your coaching staff. Davy Nicholls is your assistant manager up there as well. So, I mean, if the players get out of line, I'm sure Davy will sort them out as well.
It's very much the good cop, bad cop between the two, because, you know, you'll see Jim will be on the touchline, will say very, very little, and it's Davy's doing all the shouting, all the ball, and then it's in the faces. So I imagine that's what it's like in training as well.
He was very much like that as a player, as we know.
I don't think you would want to meet him in a dark night if he's pissed off over any reason. Like,
absolutely not. one thing I'd like to ask you about, Colin, because this has been something that I've heard, that teams like Peterhead, teams up north, are struggling to attract players from like the central region. And this is basically goes back to the economy, the cost of petrol, the cost of living at the moment. That, you know, I'm assuming like a lot of the northern teams, Peterhead, travel, train one night at a Forfar or something like that. But have you found this, that you aren't attracting those players up from the central region, they're deciding to go play junior and what have you instead?
Jim's been quite vocal about this in the last, 2 years, 18 months, the fact that, particularly in, the West of Scotland, East of Scotland leagues, those kind of places, they can actually give players more money than they would in maybe League One and League Two. If you think about it, if you're a player who is doing in Glasgow and is going to get similar money as to what they're going to get for Peterhead, but you're going to be home most nights after a game and set at a reasonable time instead of going, I'll go up to Peterhead for a 4-hour drive and coming back at, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night, and you're pretty much knackered, you just don't want to deny. Whereas you could be out with the lads, if you like, after the game. And I think that's the difference. And I think that's where we're struggling somewhat. I mean, people would then argue, well, what about the players up here in this area? It's exact same situation. The Highland League can offer better terms in terms of, you know, where you're playing locality wise. Again, the furthest north that you'd be traveling would be Wick, maybe up to Brawler or something like that. But 9 times out of 10, like Fraserburgh, for example, obviously we're closest rivals, you're an hour away most away games. So that's kind of the difference. Maybe it comes in swings and roundabouts. Maybe the money will suddenly run out in these kind of leagues and people will be biting their hands after coming back again. But that's where we're at. That's where we're kind of struggling at the moment. But as I said, he still seems to find these little gems then again.
So who's the player we're looking out for this weekend, do you think?
Difficult to kind of say. I think Ola Adeyemo scored his first goal on Saturday. I think there's potential of a player there. Really struggled earlier on, but I think that's just due to lack of games. He was at Cove last season and was behind, you know, Leighton McIntosh, Rory McAllister, Mitch Begginson. You know, he's not going to get a game in front of those three. But I think he'll cause a bit of problem. Big guy, big strapping lad up front, can hold the ball up. So he'll be the kind of guy that it could probably cause us give us the chances more than anything else. Round about him, you've got Jack Brown. Got to mention a Brown, why not? Because there's plenty of them. And Ryan Dow as well, it can be effective. Again, maybe at the wrong end of 32 now, but it's still a quality player.
Yeah. Calling the Falkirk way, though, is your best player this Saturday will be Paul Dixon. he will turn into Van Dijk for 90 minutes and quite comfortably be your man of the match, I would say.
Well, hopefully he's not like Van Dijk was this past weekend, because he had a stinker as well. So,
Word Paul Dixon and Van Dijk have appeared in the same sentence, by the way.
No, not really. No.
Right, Colin, let's get out of the way. What's the score going to be?
I would snatch your hand off for a draw, but I think you guys are going to react and come back and probably win it 2-1.
I hope so. Ross, what have you got?
I'll take a 1-0 win, if I'm being honest.
I just want to score a goal, do you?
I just want to score a goal. I want 3 points, and I just want to go away from the match.
High up the road. Quite happy with that. Well, that's it. Colin, best luck to you on Saturday. Obviously, minimal best luck. But thank you very much for coming on, and all the best.
Cheers, Colin.
No problem. Thank you very much. Cheers.
Stokes to the byline. Needs a good cross here, and Latipi.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So that's it this week for Falkirk Daft. Another depressing episode, Ross, but, you know, fingers crossed we can beat Peterhead. Colin didn't seem that confident, I have to say.
No, but is he lulling us into some...
Maybe he is. Damn it, I didn't think about that. Of course, that's what he was doing, Jesus. Listen, remember, you can watch us on YouTube. Please subscribe or rate, review. If you listen to us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, you can do all that social media stuff on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Falkirk Daft. And you'll be able to see our beautiful faces on the YouTube version. You can also join our... chat group in our Discord, a lot of chat going on during the games, before the games, and you'll get the links for that on our Twitter profile and on the link below on YouTube. I just don't know, Ross, I just really hope that was just a blip. I mean, but it's two blips. If we had 3 points against Montrose, it wouldn't be as bad. But as we were saying, that's just 5 points off the top already.
We are, mate, but I think there's still a lot of football to be played. I think that, I know I was critical of him earlier on in terms of his team selection, but do you know, I think John McGlynn's that kind of guy. He'll self-reflect, he'll put out what he can on Saturday in terms of what's available to him. I think there will be changes again. I didn't expect the changes he made Saturday. I think the team we'll see on Saturday coming will be far, far more fresh in terms of the new signings. Mm. Getting playing. Who knows? We might even have another striker or something before then too. You never know.
Yeah, give us your team for Saturday.
Well, Morrison, if he's fit, if PJ's back, I would have PJ back in. But do you know what? Paddy Martin, I'm sure he's a good goalkeeper. I don't think he'll be as busy as he would be against maybe Airdrie or someone like that. So hopefully, if he's playing, he gets a good game and a clean sheet. I would bring Williamson back in,
yep.
On the basis that we have the injuries, that we think we've got the injuries. I probably would bring Mackie into left centre-half and have, obviously, partner in Donaldson, and I would play McCann at left-back.
Yep.
My midfield, definitely McGinn and Yates in there. I don't think he'll drop everybody, obviously, because he can't. I would play McGuffey. I think he's the best on form out of that group of players just now. Yeah. And I would 100% be playing the new boys of Lowell and Burrell, and I would bring Oliver back in as well.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Decent team. So we'll see what happens Saturday. We'll be down at the stadium, of course, Ross. Listen, if you want to sponsor the show, by the way, I forgot to mention this, if you fancy sponsoring the show, we're getting over 1,000 streams on it now in terms of over the podcast and YouTube, so you can get involved with the show. We'd love you to do that. Please get in touch with us, falkirkpod@gmail.com, or drop us a DM on our socials. Well, we'll see what happens on Saturday, but until next time, moan the Bears, and of course,
expect the unexpected, as always.